Teil A, Hörverstehen Englisch 2025. Fachhochschulreife Baden-Württemberg, Haupttermin.
Listening Comprehension Test. You will hear each recording twice. After each listening, you will have time to complete your answers. Task 1. You now have time to read the assignment. One.
In our country, smoking causes 1 in 4 cancer deaths. It kills 64,000 people a year and leads to almost 1 hospital admission every minute. It significantly increases the risks of strokes, heart disease, dementia, and stillbirth.
Two.
People take up cigarettes when they're young. 4 in 5 smokers have started by the time they're 20. Later, the vast majority try to quit. But many fail, and they wish they had never taken up the habit in the first place. Without a significant change, thousands of children will start smoking in the coming years, and we must try and stop teenagers taking up cigarettes in the first place.
3.
So I propose that in future, we raise the smoking age by 1 year every year. That means a 14-year-old today will never legally be sold a cigarette, and that they and their generation can grow up smoke-free. Now, we know this works. When we raised the smoking age to 18, smoking prevalence dropped by 30% in that age group.
4.
This is not a values judgment on people who smoke. I don't believe it would be fair to take away the rights of anyone to smoke who currently does so. And the vote on this in Parliament will be a free vote, as the bar on smoking in public places was and raising the smoking age to 18 was. There will be no government whip. It is a matter of conscience.
5.
And as any parent or teacher knows, one of the most worrying trends right now is the rise in vaping amongst children. 1 in 5 children have used vapes. We must act before it becomes endemic. So we will also bring forward measures to restrict the availability of vapes to our children, looking at flavors, packaging, displays, and disposable vapes.
Now listen to the recording again. 1.
In our country, smoking causes 1 in 4 cancer deaths. It kills 64,000 people a year and leads to almost 1 hospital admission every minute. It significantly increases the risks of strokes, heart disease, dementia, and stillbirth.
2.
People take up cigarettes when they're young. 4 in 5 smokers have started by the time they're 20. Later, the vast majority try to quit. But many fail, and they wish they had never taken up the habit in the first place. Without a significant change, thousands of children will start smoking in the coming years, and we must try and stop teenagers taking up cigarettes in the first place.
3.
So I propose that in future, we raise the smoking age by 1 year every year. That means a 14-year-old today will never legally be sold a cigarette, and that they and their generation can grow up smoke-free. Now, we know this works. When we raised the smoking age to 18, smoking prevalence dropped by 30% in that age group.
4.
This is not a values judgment on people who smoke. I don't believe it would be fair to take away the rights of anyone to smoke who currently does so. And the vote on this in Parliament will be a free vote, as the bar on smoking in public places was, and raising the smoking age to 18 was. There will be no government whip. It is a matter of conscience.
5.
And as any parent or teacher knows, one of the most worrying trends right now is the rise in vaping amongst children. 1 in 5 children have used vapes. We must act before it becomes endemic. So we will also bring forward measures to restrict the availability of vapes to our children, looking at flavours, packaging, displays and disposable vapes.
Task 2. You now have time to read the assignment.
Okay, guys, so I want to talk about bullying. I looked into some of the statistics, and it's not looking good for us, guys. At least 1 in 3 students in Canada have reported being bullied recently. And the rate of discrimination experienced by students who identify as LGBTQ+ is 3 times higher than heterosexual students. And girls are more likely to be bullied on the internet than boys. What's up with that, guys? And the worst part is that this stuff doesn't end as you grow up. 40% of Canadian workers experience bullying on a weekly basis. But why?
So, I'm assuming all of you have been bullied at least once in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are my friends. We're all kids here, and we all have dealt with it at some point in our lives.
I just think, like, for me, there's just, like, the little things that kind of, like, build up. Like, there's this one person who kind of criticizes me, like, about maybe my grades or something like that, and say, like, that I'm not doing well, just, like, making up stuff, which I don't think is very nice.
Yeah, guys, it's not a good feeling at all. It sucks, you know? If bullying is so painful and so hurtful for so many people, why would anybody ever do it, ever? I found someone who I think could help me get to the bottom of this.
Hello.
Hi, Ty. Nice to meet you.
This is Tony Volk. He's a professor in the Department of Child and Youth Studies at Brock University.
So what got you interested in bullying?
I was bullied. It's pretty unoriginal, I know.
Well, it's good motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not alone. Bullying is probably ubiquitous amongst life itself. I mean, you've got the pecking order in chickens, the dominance hierarchy in wolves, chimpanzees. You could also probably, by many definitions, see it amongst trees that compete with each other.
Hold up. So even trees are bullying each other? Tony explains that it's different from just regular aggression because it's based off of a power imbalance. Bullies always have more power than the person they're bullying.
Yeah, exactly. The problem with it is that, as with everything, it has a cost, so it has a downside. And that downside is that you're burning bridges for cooperation later in the future. So in many ways, it's kind of a me first, right now strategy. In that while we know bullies are rated as being more popular, they're almost always rated as being less liked. And that makes sense, right? You don't want to mess with them, but do you really want to have them as your homework partner? But in the long run, especially if they lose their power, then they're not very appealing for other people to be with. So it's a strategy that has some benefits, but also some costs as well.
It's really scary. It brings me back to my main question, like, why do people bully? Are some people just born to bully?
So there are about 20% of bullies are what we call bully victims. And these are kids who are genuinely victimized by more powerful individuals and then go on to do it themselves because they're angry, they have poor self-esteem, poor emotional control. And those fit the stereotype that many people have as a bully.
The other kind is what he calls pure bullies. Those are the real bad cookies.
Right, so the captain of the football team, the head cheerleader, these are people who typically aren't being picked on by other people. They don't have deficits in self-esteem and mental health. You know, you think you're better than others.
Would it be possible for us to get rid of bullying?
Completely eliminate it? Probably not, but reduce it significantly, yes. The science shows that while bullying makes you popular, kids who are powerful and nice, powerful and cooperative, are even more popular. Cooperation almost always is better than competition in the long run.
Bullying doesn't get you anywhere. Woo, guys, I have hope, and bullying could be gone. Thank you so much for listening.
Now listen to the recording again.
Okay, guys, so I want to talk about bullying. I looked into some of the statistics, and it's not looking good for us, guys. At least 1 in 3 students in Canada have reported being bullied recently. And the rate of discrimination experienced by students who identify as LGBTQ+, is 3 times higher than heterosexual students. And girls are more likely to be bullied on the internet than boys. What's up with that, guys? And the worst part is that this stuff doesn't end as you grow up. 40% of Canadian workers experience bullying on a weekly basis. But why?
So, I'm assuming all of you have been bullied at least once in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are my friends. We're all kids here, and we all have dealt with it at some point in our lives.
I just think, like, for me, there's just, like, the little things that kind of, like, build up. Like, there's this one person who kind of criticizes me, like, about maybe my grades or something like that, and say, like, that I'm not doing well, just, like, making up stuff, which I don't think is very nice.
Yeah, guys, it's not a good feeling at all. It sucks, you know? If bullying is so painful and so hurtful for so many people, Why would anybody ever do it, ever? I found someone who I think could help me get to the bottom of this.
Hello.
Hi, Ty. Nice to meet you.
This is Tony Volk. He's a professor in the Department of Child and Youth Studies at Brock University.
So what got you interested in bullying?
I was bullied. It's pretty unoriginal, I know.
Well, it's good motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not alone. Bullying is probably ubiquitous amongst life itself. I mean, you've got the pecking order in chickens, the dominance hierarchy in wolves, chimpanzees. You could also probably, by many definitions, see it amongst trees that compete with each other.
Hold up. So even trees are bullying each other? Tony explains that it's different from just regular aggression because it's based off of a power imbalance. Bullies always have more power than the person they're bullying.
Yeah, exactly. The problem with it is that, as with everything, it has a cost, so it has a downside. And that downside is that you're burning bridges for cooperation later in the future. So in many ways, it's kind of a me first, right now strategy. In that while we know bullies are rated as being more popular, they're almost always rated as being less liked. And that makes sense, right? You don't want to mess with them, but do you really want to have them as your homework partner? But in the long run, especially if they lose their power, then they're not very appealing for other people to be with. So it's a strategy that has some benefits, but also some costs as well.
It's really scary. It brings me back to my main question, like, why do people bully? Are some people just born to bully?
So there are about 20% of bullies are what we call bully victims. And these are kids who are genuinely victimized by more powerful individuals and then go on to do it themselves because they're angry, they have poor self-esteem, poor emotional control. And those fit the stereotype that many people have as a bully.
The other kind is what he calls pure bullies. Those are the real bad cookies.
Right, so the captain of the football team, the head cheerleader, these are people who typically aren't being picked on by other people. They don't have deficits in self-esteem and mental health. You know, you think you're better than others.
Would it be possible for us to get rid of bullying?
Completely eliminate it? Probably not, but reduce it significantly, yes. The science shows that while bullying makes you popular, kids who are powerful and nice, powerful and cooperative, are even more popular. Cooperation almost always is better than competition in the long run.
Bullying doesn't get you anywhere. Woo, guys, I have hope, and bullying could be gone. Thank you so much for listening.
Task 3. You now have time to read the assignment.
Most of us have gotten into the habit of checking out the ingredient labels on our foods, but what about our clothing? Well, our guest today, journalist Alden Wicker, began investigating why a few years ago, after some flight attendants started having awful reactions after wearing their uniforms. And she's written a book about it titled To Die For, spelled D-Y-E, How Toxic Fashion is Making Us Sick and How We Can Fight Back. Alden Wicker, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you for having me.
Designer Zach Posen has just designed a new uniform for Delta flight attendants, but almost immediately some attendants started getting sick. What were they experiencing?
Some of the reactions they were having were really horrendous. So it usually started with things like rashes and breathing problems, swollen eyes, brain fog, and then it would start progressing to more serious effects.
What was in the clothing?
There were the dispersed dyes, which are used to dye specifically polyester clothing. And then they would also have to add fire retardant chemistry because wool is naturally fire retardant, but polyester is not. It'll go up in flames if you hold it too close to a flame. And then they also had easy care technologies, basically anything they could do to make these uniforms so resistant to any sort of wear and tear that they would hardly even need to wash them. Sometimes they're deliberately used in finishes to give textiles performance qualities. And some of these things, like pesticides or antifungals, are used in the warehouses or in the ships so that they contaminate the clothing kind of by accident as they're being shipped over to us.
Alden, one of the things you do in this book is to give folks some practical tips on what they can do to be better consumers and protect themselves from these potentially toxic chemicals in our clothing. So let's go through a few of them. First, avoid cheap knockoff or unknown brands. Another thing is to look for third-party labels. Can you explain what you mean by that?
There are some labels that govern different parts of the supply chain and toxicity. So Blue Sign is one. They partner with factories and suppliers to make sure that they're using safe chemistry and using it safely for workers.
Okay, so another one is to avoid performance materials like spandex and workout gear.
If it promises to be anti-odor, wrinkle-free, easy care, stain-resistant, water-resistant, all of those things are usually achieved with synthetic finishes that are known to be toxic.
Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much.
Now listen to the recording again.
Most of us have gotten into the habit of checking out the ingredient labels on our foods, but what about our clothing? Well, our guest today, journalist Alden Wicker, began investigating why a few years ago, after some flight attendants started having awful reactions after wearing their uniforms. And she's written a book about it titled To Die For, spelled D-Y-E, How Toxic Fashion is Making Us Sick and How We Can Fight Back. Alden Wicker, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you for having me.
Designer Zach Posen has just designed a new uniform for Delta flight attendants, but almost immediately some attendants started getting sick. What were they experiencing?
Some of the reactions they were having were really horrendous. So it usually started with things like rashes and breathing problems, swollen eyes, brain fog, and then it would start progressing to more serious effects.
What was in the clothing?
There were the dispersed dyes, which are used to dye specifically polyester clothing. And then they would also have to add fire retardant chemistry because wool is naturally fire retardant, but polyester is not. It'll go up in flames if you hold it too close to a flame. And then they also had easy care technologies, basically anything they could do to make these uniforms so resistant to any sort of wear and tear that they would hardly even need to wash them. Sometimes they're deliberately used in finishes to give textiles performance qualities. And some of these things, like pesticides or antifungals, are used in the warehouses or in the ships so that they contaminate the clothing kind of by accident as they're being shipped over to us.
Alden, one of the things you do in this book is to give folks some practical tips on what they can do to be better consumers and protect themselves from these potentially toxic chemicals in our clothing. So let's go through a few of them. First, avoid cheap knockoff or unknown brands. Another thing is to look for third-party labels. Can you explain what you mean by that?
There are some labels that govern different parts of the supply chain and toxicity. So Blue Sign is one. They partner with factories and suppliers to make sure that they're using safe chemistry and using it safely for workers.
Okay, so another one is to avoid performance materials like spandex and workout gear.
If it promises to be anti-odor, wrinkle-free, easy care, stain-resistant, water-resistant, all of those things are usually achieved with synthetic finishes that are known to be toxic.
Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much.
This is the end of your listening comprehension test.